Welcome back to Love Well. Glad to have you with me this week, and I am beyond excited about my guest this week, Jennifer Gorman. She is a good friend, a neighbor, but she is somebody who, along with her husband Jeffrey, they are just amazing volunteers in our community. They truly embody what it means to love well. And we had a super fun conversation. I think that you are going to really enjoy it. And there was one moment in there where Jennifer said something that struck a chord with me. And that is that to love well, you need to be somebody who lives a transparent life. And that was an aha moment for me. So that was really fun. But what shapes this conversation is two words: care and compassion. And I think as we think about what it means to love well, couldn't have two better words to shape the conversation. So thanks for being with me. Want to encourage you to share this, like, comment on on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, wherever it is that you are listening to this episode, because if you will like and comment, it will help us rise up in the algorithms and let other people hear more stories about what it means to love well. So thanks again for being with me. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Jennifer Gorman. Jennifer Gorman, good to be hanging out.
Hi.
It's always so weird. There's no good way to like get rolling on this whole thing.
Thanks for having me. That's the proper answer, right?
There you go.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So so those of you that are going to be listening to this, Jennifer and I are sitting on her back patio because it is like an absolutely perfect Michigan evening.
That's
and,
true.
So you're going to hear mowing, you're going to hear birds chirping,
sure,
dogs barking, all kinds of things.
Yep.
And we're in person, not over Zoom, mm-hmm, which is just
magnificent.
The best.
Yes. Yes.
The best. So,
yep,
you know, hey, go get vaccinated so you too can be in person.
Are you sponsoring commercials on this thing?
I should. Mm-hmm. I should. So, all right. So just kind of give a little bit of your background. You and Jeff volunteer like Jennifer's what is this thing called?
It's an umbrella.
The umbrella.
It's a sun umbrella.
Just smacked her in the face.
Maybe.
You know, it's all good.
Maybe.
So all right, so you and Jeff volunteer like crazy. You guys are super involved. So just give us a little bit of a rundown on some of the things that you guys do. You know, even talk a little bit about what you do at the hospital, because that's important stuff.
Okay.
Too.
Okay. We've lived in Lincoln's community since we got married 20 years ago, a little bit more than 20 years ago. I went to school at Eastern. I met Jeff, got married. We knew that we wanted to live here. We knew that both of us grew up in an all-white area, and that is exactly what we didn't want to, mm-hmm, live in, especially after going to Eastern. I walked into diversity, and I was like, well, this is absolutely what I want to make sure that my kids learn.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was lucky enough when I was little to live really close to Detroit, to have grandparents who understood diversity really well. So we were downtown Detroit all the time. Absolutely all the time. So I was, even though I lived in a community that was mostly white, I was immersed into, you know, some of those things. When we found the Lincoln community, we were like, this is where we want to be. So our kids started going to school here. When they were, you know, 3 and a half, that's when you could sign them up for soccer. We signed them up for soccer, and then the following year was the beginning of the, you know, constant volunteering, because they're like, oh my gosh, we need more people to, you know, coach 4-year-olds running around a field. And we were like, we have no idea how to coach soccer. And they're like, it's really just like herding cats. That's right. So we were like, we could do that. And that was where we started. We did soccer when our kids played soccer. We did basketball when our mm-hmm. kids did basketball. We didn't do as much coaching of basketball as much as coordinating basketball. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although Jeff did coach some basketball.
Which is how you and I built our friendship, was through basketball.
That's correct. We started there a long, long time ago, right?
Yeah, because we had just moved in and Ethan was going to play basketball, and I had signed up to be an assistant coach,
mm-hmm.
but immediately became a head coach at tryouts.
How did that happen?
And I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, Coach Rose, you got that? I'm like, what?
Right. And so that's how they suck you in.
Yeah, yeah, and you picked our team.
I know.
With my mm-hmm. one caveat. I don't care how good a kid is. Is it a good family?
That's exactly what we did. So then again, after basketball, then we started baseball, mm-hmm. and that was the way that we always drafted kids, right? Like, yes, we want some talent, but we also want people who are kind and fun, and the kids are there because they want to be there, mm-hmm. not because their parents are making them do a sport. That's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
And then when my youngest was 8, he says, I want to play football, and we were like, okay. Then the next thing you know, Jeff's volunteering the year after Leah turns 4.5 and she's eligible for cheer. I start coaching cheer. And then that ended that started the beginning of our 9 years, I believe, on football and cheer, right? Between wow. coaching and, you know, organizing and all those different things. As the kids got into middle school and high school, we were like, you have surpassed our knowledge of the sports, mm-hmm. and it's definitely time for more professional people to coach you. That's when we started volunteering for all the other stuff, right? Jeff's right now up at the fields being an umpire. I became a certified MHSAA cheer judge. I did that for a year and then realized it's really hard to do that while my kids are all still in sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, well, I can't do that anymore, especially now that my daughter's cheering. But I am the vice president of band boosters. I am the head of the high school PTO. I have a job at the hospital where I do a lot of really interesting things too. I am, in my professional job, I am a recipient rights advisor, which no one in the world knows what it is unless
right.
you do it,
yep.
Which is really the compliance officer for the mental health code law.
Okay.
So it is protecting mental health patients.
I mean, really kind of, you're protecting the people who truly can't protect themselves.
They are the most vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Them and elderly people and children, I believe, are the most vulnerable population.
Yeah.
Certainly mental health patients, sometimes more so, because of sometimes their altered mental status in their crises, right?
Yep.
So certainly it's my job to try to protect them. Certainly it's everyone's job
right?
to do it right the
yep.
first time.
Which would be nice.
It would be, but sometimes the decisions that are made are not always the best decisions. With that, I also do work at the state. I am on the state advisory council. I'm the chairperson of the state advisory board for recipient rights, and I'm the chairperson for the state appeals board. So those are just a couple of things.
Just a couple of the things.
Couple things.
Yeah, yeah. See, this is, so yesterday, Jennifer's next door neighbor and I, Rob, sat down and talked, and it's kind of the same thing where it's like this, it's a litany of ways that you guys are serving and impacting our community, and it's just mind-boggling to think.
But it's funny because I never think about it in a clump. Like, you just made
right.
me say it all out loud, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and
I'm like,
I need a nap.
I do need a nap or a vacation. How about that?
That's yes. right. Yes, and that's coming up soon.
Right. Thank goodness.
Oh my gosh. So, all right, so I mean, just the vast amount of ways that you serve, you're obviously not serving because it's, you know, it's not making you rich. You're not getting, you know.
Oh, good one. That's a good one.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah, you know, you're not. So, all right, so how do you define love, right? Because I know that you are serving and you're doing all these things out of a love for people and for our mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. So how do you define that word?
I think I just define it as care and compassion for others.
Mm.
I guess that's the way I think about it, is that everyone deserves love, which care and compassion kind of go along with that, right?
Yeah.
I guess I just think it's that simple.
Yeah.
And maybe it is and maybe it's not, but yeah, that's...
Well, all right, so, and it's so funny. These conversations, I can already see how this is going to go, because those are the two words that I probably would use to describe you and your family.
Well, thank you.
So, just like yesterday, the conversation with Rob, you know, intentionality and hospitality.
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean...
I was going to say, I do want to know other people's answer now.
Right? I mean, that's like... Yeah. There it is. And care and compassion for you guys. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So digging into that a little bit, when you say compassion, right, that's mm-hmm. almost, it can almost be like a buzzword, I feel like, in today's world a little bit. Like, seems like everybody's talking about compassion and empathy and emotional intelligence and all these things. Mm-hmm. So how do you, like, when you think about compassion, what does that look like?
I guess that just means... kindness and understanding, mm-hmm. right? So I'm a real firm believer that if you don't understand and know the whole story, that we better not be jumping to conclusions, right? So that's with three teenagers, that's like the epitome of all my conversations, right? Well, wait, what about that guy at work? And and hold on a second, do we have the whole story? Because we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think, so I'm also a trainer at work for a class that's it's called Crisis Prevention and Intervention, and it's about verbal de-escalation when people are upset and angry. It's the same thing the school uses for de-escalating, you know, difficult situations.
Yep.
And I guess I think about that all the time, and I think about the fact that there are a million things that are going on with a person that you can't see or feel
right.
and that you don't know, right?
Right?
For example, the patient that walks into the hospital just had his mom die and has a lot of pain and has all of these, has previous trauma, right? What you see is a big giant jerk screaming at you, but you don't know why.
Yeah.
And sometimes people's defense mechanisms want to be mean right back, right?
Yep.
But you also think, well, gosh, people are really scared when they come to a hospital, or people are, you know, all of these things. And we really have to think about those precipitating factors that people can't see or know about.
Right.
Which really comes a lot from my mom's illness and how she was treated in the hospital, which really makes me think nobody knew.
Yeah.
Nobody understood. Nobody really stopped to think about it before
yep.
they treated her a certain way.
Yeah.
So I'm really intentional about what is potentially going on with that other person, and are we making sure that we're taking the time to know more about it before we jump to that they're the most terrible person in the world or that they, whatever.
Yeah, because you, in your job, get to see everybody on their worst day.
Yep, absolutely.
And, I mean, yeah, that's just... See, I get the perk, being a pastor, I get the perk of getting to be a part of people's best days
mm-hmm.
and their worst days,
yep.
but I still get the best day part.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about, like, doctors, nurses, you never get the best day.
Yep.
It's always the worst day.
Yep.
And so I just can't even imagine, like... I laugh that I have very small compassion tanks. I'm not. Amy and I are not the most compassionate people.
I disagree, but
it seems like.
So you're good at show?
We're good. I guess we're good at show.
No,
you know,
well,
but see, everybody
out.
Sees us in, you know, these, you know, for like short periods of time, right?
Yeah.
But like extended compassion, you know, we kind of laugh in our house that when you're sick, you're allowed to be sick for about 24 hours max.
Okay, then you're on your
and
own.
And then there's no more nurse.
They're old enough now, so it's all
right?
good. Yeah.
So, but when I get sick, I need, I'm a big baby.
I can see that.
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm so fascinated by people who, you know, who are able to be compassionate consistently. Like, I have to make a really active decision to be compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
But you, it just kind of flows. So why do you think that, where does that come from? I mean, what's the,
I don't know. I thought about this. So my grandfather was a deacon in the church.
Okay.
And my grandmother, right, the deacon's wife,
yep,
right, which was a super important job. Mm-hmm. And she had lots of responsibilities. And my grandparents, we were with them often. And everywhere we went, people knew my grandparents.
Mm.
And I loved them. I thought they were great examples of how I wanted to be.
Right.
And that was that just kind and compassionate to everybody. And everybody you met, like, I remember being little and everyone was like, your grandparents are the best, right? Mm. And so I was like, oh my gosh. So here's a crazy story. I started working at this job, doing this job, and I was trained by the people at the state.
Okay.
And a couple of years after I started this job, the lady at the state, her husband is a Catholic deacon.
Okay.
And I said to her, I said, I can't believe that I forgot to tell you that my grandpa is a deacon. And she said, what was your grandpa's name? My grandpa died in 1994 when I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
So, and here it is, you know, 2015.
Right.
And she's like, what was your grandpa's name? And I told her my grandpa's name, and I can hear her crying. She works in Lansing.
What?
And I said, I'm guessing you maybe knew him. And she said, yes, and I knew your grandmother, right? Because she's a deacon's wife. My grandma, you know, like, they knew each other. My grandma lived longer than my grandfather.
Okay.
So that was who she remembered the most, was my grandmother.
Right.
And so then we had realized that 10, 15 years past, she had met me when I was little, right? So I'm, you know, graduated at my grandparents' funeral. But then she said something to me that really gave me chills and really gave me like a foundation of maybe this is the job for me. Because she said, I can see why you're going to be great at this job.
Mm.
And she said, if you are anything like your grandparents. And I thought to myself, well, this is what I've been wanting, right? I wanted to be like my grandparents. I wanted to make a difference somehow with people.
Yep.
And I wanted to, you know, bring that compassion.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
That's money. That is money. So, all right. So, as you think about this idea of loving well, what does that really look like to you? Which is probably pretty similar from what we've already been talking about.
Okay.
But, and so it's okay if we kind of rehash it a little bit.
I was going to say, I guess it just means, you know, intentionally going out of my way to try to help other people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Like for example, this year for the PTO, we usually don't make a lot of money. We usually just do a couple of things. But I thought it was really, really important that we figured out how to give out more senior scholarships.
Yeah.
These seniors have had the crappiest
yes.
year ever, right?
Yes.
Like, our kids totally got shafted too, but these kids got the super shaft,
right?
Right? And I made sure to go out of my way to organize additional fundraisers that we had never done before to make sure that I had more money.
Yeah.
I also made sure to intentionally, whatever I advertised was what I delivered, right?
Yeah.
Like every dollar
that
we, you know, that we did, we gave away to seniors because I made sure people, you know, when I said, hey, we're doing this and this is going straight to the senior scholarships, I don't want it sitting in a fund that we
right.
might buy some stuff for, buy some chicken for the teachers next year during, you know,
right.
the, you know, break.
Yeah.
I wanted it to go to exactly what I said. So I think that transparency and honesty, I think are really big with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that it's really important that people know what they're going to get, right? I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be perfect. But at the same time, like I want people to know that when I say that this is what's going to happen, that this is
what's going to happen.
So that if there's ever a question of someone saying that there's something not okay or your integrity is this way, then I can sit back and let everything that I've worked hard speak for itself.
Yeah. The idea of transparency being critical to loving well, I don't think I've ever thought of that. Like, that is... I mean, inherently, it's like it's probably always been, but I've never heard anybody articulate it like that.
But think about how important that is, because
yeah.
do you want to hang out with people who are not real?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have just, that's one thing that I seem to be drawn to the people who say it like it is, mm-hmm. even when it's not always what you want to hear.
Right.
Right? And so over the years, I have been getting better at trying to say that more gently, mm-hmm. but still be the honest and transparent person right. that I want to be.
Right.
Right? Because I don't ever want to be the person that plays games or anything like that. But I think that it's really important to be transparent.
Yeah, because if you don't know where you stand with somebody, I don't know how you can feel loved or cared for mm-hmm. or feel or experience compassion from that person.
Yep.
If you're always wondering, when's the other shoe? What do they
right.
What do they really want from me?
Yeah, yeah, nobody likes yeah. eggshells.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah. And so transparency, I mean, if to truly love somebody, you have to be transparent.
Huh. I think it's important.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that in general, the minute that I don't trust you,
mm-hmm.
it might be time to not hang out as much,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That makes... All right. Well, I learned something today. So.
Well, thank you.
There you go. I like it.
All right.
I like it. So, all right. So, as you're... You know, as you guys are... Oh, there's a duck family. All right.
They're little babies. Sorry.
No.
Squirrel.
This, you don't get this on Zoom.
I know.
There's no duck families walking through on Zoom.
I know.
So this is pretty great. I'm good with squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. So, all right, how do you keep going? I know that there has to come times where you're just like, I can't do anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't. Nope. I'm mm-hmm. done. But what are some of the intentional things that you do to kind of keep your tanks full so that you're able to practice this kind of care, compassion, authenticity, transparency? Like that, none of that is easy.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so much easier to put on the mask. It's so much easier to be fake. It's so much easier to
mm-hmm.
to hide.
Yep.
And so when you're living your life that way,
mm-hmm.
that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep your tanks full?
So there's only a couple of little things, and I feel like sometimes they work, and of course sometimes it takes longer for them to work, right?
right?
So the three things that I'll tell you, my kids are like, oh, this is, oh. It's the three good things
okay.
right before bed.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're, whether you write them down, it's more effective when you write them down. But even if you just stop and think about them, I think of it similarly to praying, right?
Yeah.
Like to say, you know, but I don't want to talk about bad things. I don't want to talk about all the people that are sick or
mm-hmm.
hurt or those kinds of things. But I want to think about, even though today's been a super crappy day, here are the three good things.
Yeah.
Right. And so I practiced that with my kids too. Like when they were littler, I'd sit on their bed and I would say, tell me three good things. And they were like, there's no good things. Right. Cause again, they just got in trouble right before bed. So there's
right, right.
definitely yeah. no good things, but, oh, okay. All right. Right. Like somebody was nice to me today. Right. And they can be stupid little things, mm-hmm. but it's kind of training our brain to realize that even though you might not have had a really great day, you did find some good things,
right?
But we also so often focus on those bad things and make them out to be bigger
yep.
than they actually are,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things that that I try to do consistently
yeah.
is just some kind of, you know, happy huh. happy thoughts.
Yeah. So how do you see that gratitude, that practicing the attitude of gratitude, what does that do for you to kind of by focusing on those three good things every day at the mm-hmm. end of the day, how does that prepare you to kind of move into the next day?
I just think about every day as a new day, right?
Yeah.
Like if we really, I try not to look backwards, right?
Right.
Because again, I can be better. I can do better than I did yesterday. And I think that's what I tell my kids is that I think that if you have that one goal and that one mindset, then you can figure it out.
Yep.
Then you can absolutely figure it out. If you take those small steps in realizing that it's not the end of the world, whatever happened yesterday, mm-hmm. And waking up every morning and realizing you have a new opportunity,
right.
a new goal.
Yeah.
And I guess that's my thought too, with both of my parents dying within 4 months of each other. Mm-hmm. I think often about how I got through that.
Yeah.
Because that, by the way, that was the most terrible time in my life.
Right.
One of the things that worked really well, people should never think that they shouldn't, right, like really vent. Venting, yeah, and talking it out, even with their significant other, their best friends, whatever mm-hmm. it is always a really valuable thing. The other thing is the art of distraction.
Yeah.
Is sometimes very beneficial.
Yeah.
And I did distract myself, right? So I was responsible for, you know, 15 young ladies at cheer practice every night for 2 right. hours while I'm certainly grieving and yeah. not doing great. But I literally have nowhere else to be. Yep. So I, in that moment, right, during those really difficult times, would I say that I was fully transparent at that time? I wouldn't.
Right.
Because in that way, it was helpful for me to fake it till I make it, yep. to smile. Now, the girls, you know, they're, you know, 10, 12-year-old girls, they knew my parents had just died.
Right.
But I said, you know, sometimes it was a valuable life lesson for all of them to realize that that we still have to come here. We have an obligation to this sport.
Yep.
And even when we're having tough days, we can still work through it, and we can still practice, and we can still, you know, go and compete or yeah. go cheer at the football game.
Yeah.
So it gave everybody some lessons and some understanding of obligation, right? Because that's never going to go away.
Right?
Your whole life. You have all these obligations, yeah. and they don't leave.
Right. Yep. All right. So we've got the gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the second thing?
Distraction and venting.
Yes. All right. So those are
my tips.
Those are the tips. Well, but that's so money, right? Because if we don't, you know, if we don't, especially the venting, like if we don't have that, then we just stuff everything,
which is not good.
There was a guy who I've been gripping that umbrella umbrella pole for my hand hurts. There was this guy and he talked about he's talking about the importance of venting and how if we don't, it's like we have this wound that we just kind of keep dragging through the dirt, and it's just going to get more and more infected and fester and gross mm-hmm. and gross and gross and gross.
Yep.
And what we need to do is expose it to the air and get it in the light yeah. and just get all that stuff out.
Yeah. And again, we think that venting only has to be in a negative light, right? Because people are like, oh, there's that Karen and she won't stop complaining.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's a right way and there's a not so right way, right?
Yeah.
So again, in your safe space with the people you love and the people who care about you, you know, you should absolutely say whatever you want.
Yep.
But yeah, be careful not to be Karen, but
right.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, and so inherent in what you've said is, I'm going to throw this out to see what you think. I think you've got a fourth thing, which is a community of people that you trust and that you love and that love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've built this group of folks around you that you can practice gratitude with, that mm-hmm. you can, that can be your distraction when you need it.
Yep.
And can be the group of people that you vent with. Like,
oh my gosh, yes.
You know, because I think we've all had moments where we've been on someone's patio and someone has just, all of us, at one point or another, flopped down and been like, you are not going to believe.
100%. Yep.
Blah.
Right. But again, but it is the fact that we are lucky and blessed to have these people who are non-judgmental,
mm-hmm.
open-minded, understanding, and, you know, and realize the needs of the other people,
mm-hmm.
Which is priceless.
Yeah.
Absolutely priceless.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. If you were to give advice to somebody who's like, I want to get better at loving well. I want to get better at, you know, practicing care and compassion and some of these things. What's something that you would say, all right, tomorrow, this is what you need to try to start doing?
Volunteer. I mean, you can start with something so small, so simple.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about the millions of things that need to be done, right? Mm-hmm. Meals on Wheels, right? Red Cross, all of these little things that would accept a volunteer for once a week for 4 hours.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So it's just that simple, right? Like, yes, everyone wants to go to the hospital and rock the babies, and that's not allowed anymore. So
right.
we can't do that, yeah, even though we really want to. That's where I really want to volunteer. Right? But you know, think even there's a organization called NAMI, which is National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Okay,
they train you and I to be you know, part of this program, like End the Silence program, which is about mental health stigma. Right. So you and I could be certified tomorrow to be presenters for this, you know, for this thing. So there's these little tiny things absolutely everywhere. Find something that's interesting to you or that, you know, really speaks to you, and just go volunteer.
Yeah.
Just a few hours a week,
just show
a few
up.
Hours a month. Right.
Yeah.
So it literally could be anywhere or do anything.
Right. Just a matter of just showing up.
Right. And just being there.
So back to, we just took a break. It's not going to, no one's going to notice on the podcast except now that I've called it out, because
right.
I don't know how to come back from those kinds of things.
No.
So, all right. So volunteer. So just show up.
Just do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Figure out what's important to you. Is it important for you to volunteer at your kid's school? Because before we ever started, you know, doing sports, I would go to the school. I volunteered my time to make copies. You want to know how appreciative teachers are for you to go to the copy room and make copies, or to sit with little Bobby in the corner and read to him for a half hour? Priceless.
Right.
So there are things to do everywhere and with anybody that you want to volunteer with.
Yeah. It really is. I was just, it's so funny. I was just talking today with a guy who wants to start up a Doubt on Tap in Indiana.
Cool.
And, you know, he's like, so how did you start? I said, well, the Todd and I went to a coffee shop on the same day at the same time, week in, week out, and we just got to know people. And then when we started Doubt on Tap, we invited them to come. But it just started with just show up.
Yep.
Just go be there.
Yep.
Right? You know, or I think about like our middle school when it went through that rash of suicides.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are some big churches in the area, but none of those pastors were invited to come. I was the one that got the phone call that said, can you come and help?
And do this thing.
Right?
Yeah.
But it is because I showed up.
Right.
I had been there before.
Right.
And so then when the big moment came, right,
mm-hmm.
I was there. And so, yeah. So yeah,
those
just
are cool things and things to be proud of.
Yeah, yeah. Just showing up, it really is that simple.
Relationships are the basis of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you have established a positive relationship, that's really going to get you a lot of things.
Right. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. You don't, it just doesn't have to. We overthink everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We make everything way harder than it needs to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I need to make sure that in the show notes, I put a link to NAMI.
Yeah.
Because that sounds sweet.
Yeah. So, they do all kinds of great things.
So I think there's some stuff there that people can definitely connect with. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as we kind of come to the end of this little conversation.
Okay.
This was a Robert Norris add-on. So.
Uh-oh, I'm really scared right now.
You should be very scared. All right.
Okay.
So when you just need to, like, kind of get your groove back, get your mojo back, kind of get in that good headspace,
mm-hmm.
what are, like, maybe two or three songs that you put on the radio, that you load up on your iPhone, whatever it is, that just kind of get you, like, whew, get you going.
So you want the names of the songs?
If you know them.
I was going to say, that's Jeff's, Jeff's I know like that. He knows the answer knows, to all the songs.
Right. Jeff probably knows the name, the date.
Yep.
When it was released, who produced it.
Yep. I was going to say, the funny thing about me is that I love to sing.
Yeah.
But I love to sing Disney songs. So Jeff makes fun of me because I literally have Sirius Radio just for the Disney Channel radio so that I can sing Little Mermaid all day long. Uh-huh. And he's like, is there any other 44-year-old woman that listens to Disney radio all day long? And I'm like, well, they should.
They should.
They should.
Right.
Right? Because then you got High School Musical. Then you got, Camp Rock. Uh-huh. And all of those are inspirational. Right. Like, in their own way, they have their own special little things.
Yep.
And to me, music does speak to me. It does give me that energy or that know that I can do it. Right. Beauty and the Beast. Little Mermaid. Those are... I know. Now I sound kind of dumb.
Not at all. So what's your, if you had to pick one song off the Little Mermaid soundtrack, which is it?
Part of Your World, Little Mermaid.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
But I do love dance music too.
So. Yeah. All right. So High School Musical.
I do love High School Musical.
Is there one song in there that you're just like,
oh, I don't know the name of it, but it's the one that really talks about all the people and all the different things they do.
Yep, I know which one you're talking about. Yep.
Oh gosh, what's the name of that song? But me and Leah sing it all day long, every day. In fact, when I turned in my last car, I'm pretty sure they took my CD because I forgot that it was in there, because who uses a CD player anymore?
Right.
But yes.
All right, Camp Rock.
Just the Camp Rock song. Just the main.
Just the main?
Rock. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
See, here's my dark secret. My Disney musical is Aladdin.
I do love Aladdin.
Golly. Yeah. I will put, every once in a while, I'll put that on and just.
Have you seen the live version with Will Smith? With Will Smith.
It's so fun.
Oh, I love that one.
It was so fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was fun. Did they do a real live version of The Little Mermaid?
I don't think so yet.
Okay.
No. I'll wait for it.
I feel like they can't do that. They're not going to be able to pull that one off. But
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah. But Aladdin, Will Smith was...
He was awesome.
I didn't think anybody could top Robin Williams as the genie.
We talk about that all the time.
But Will Smith is right there.
He did a good job, but he made it his own instead of,
trying to be... Yeah, he didn't try to be Robin Williams.
Right.
He was Will Smith being the genie, which was really good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was awesome.
See, you're not that weird. Oh. I'm a 44-year-old man that listens to Disney musicals every once in a while.
I do. We also love, Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. We could listen to the Greatest Showman soundtrack all day long.
What's the song from there?
All of them. I mean, I don't
the
even like...
The whole thing.
But again, it's like literally when the bearded woman is singing. That is our favorite one. Yes.
Yep. I am really excited to watch, and I might watch it tonight. Is the In the Heights musical that was just released in theaters and on HBO.
Oh, I have HBO.
Okay. Lin-Manuel, the guy who did Hamilton.
Oh, I love Hamilton.
He did this one. So it looks pretty great.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
All right, so what's your favorite Hamilton song?
I've never seen Hamilton.
Oh. Do you have Disney Plus?
I do.
Okay, it was on there for a while during the pandemic. Maybe it's not, but...
Okay, yeah, I never...
It's good.
See, the problem is I'm the only person in my family that likes musicals.
Oh, okay.
And so, Amy's like, sure.
Yeah. How much time do you have left? You want to hear the funny story about the first time I took Jeff to see a musical?
Oh, my gosh. tell me you have video.
I don't. I was like, oh, he knew that my very favorite musical was Miss Saigon. I love Miss Saigon. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the first musical I ever saw in person. I saw it in Chicago.
So, Jeff, too. That's the first musical he's ever seen in person. I took him because he bought me tickets because he's like, I know you love this musical. And I'm like, awesome. So, here we are. It's like the second act and I'm crying. And he looks at me and he goes, what is going on? I literally have no idea what's going on right now. You didn't tell me they would sing the whole time. He he kind of thought that it would be more like a Disney movie where he would be able to understand,
right.
and then they would just bust out into song a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like, they are literally singing the whole time.
But he was impressed they landed a helicopter on stage, wasn't he?
Well, he was. But I was like, I thought for sure you would get this one because it's more like army life,
right?
This would totally be up your alley. And I'm like, oh, this is the saddest part. And he was like, I have no idea what's happening now. I was laughing. That still brings tears to my eyes.
See, I kind of ruined Amy because when we were dating, she had never seen a musical. And so we were on a summer mission trip in New Jersey. And so we and another couple drove up to New York and went and saw Phantom
on
Broadway.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was the first time she'd ever seen. So, ruined. Yeah, because nothing compares to Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. Maybe Les Mis.
That was good, yeah.
But Phantom is just...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should take her to see Chicago. I'm just joking. I'm totally joking right now. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Nope. Oh, man. Yeah. Huh. We share a love of musicals.
That is true.
Who knew?
We didn't know.
I know. But now, so is Jeff all in on musicals now?
He'll take me. He totally will take me. Just the same that I'll take him to his rock concerts.
Yeah.
If they ever start up again.
Right? So. They're going to.
Okay.
They're going to. I think we're good.
They're, all right.
They're going to. They have to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, random concert thing
mm-hmm.
that I just bumped across that was super fun is there's this country guy, Luke Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a farm series where he books concerts at farms
and then a chunk
of the proceeds from those ticket sales, like I think I don't know if all of it or the vast majority of it, goes to scholarships for farm kids.
Do we
so they can go to college
as a farm
I don't
district?
Know
or should I just ask him?
We should just ask. But then he's doing a show in Fowlerville in October.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at a big farm up there.
Oh, so, then I should totally email him and be like,
hey,
I'm the head of PTO.
That's
for
right.
sure. He'll say yes. I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you for asking me.
This is a lot of fun. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although I can think of many more people who were probably worthy of this podcast. Is there a big list? I can think of them.
There is a all great right. list.
Okay, like, I can't wait.
All right, so we already had Rob.
Yeah.
Which that was... He is all right.
Yeah.
You know.
He's pretty okay.
But we've got, I've got Mr. Seuss from the middle school coming
up. Yep.
Miss Ferguson from the middle school.
Awesome.
We've got Laura Van Zomeren coming.
That would be on my list.
I mean, the list is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I can't wait.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.